seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll again direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and the first verse. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? No, this was not just Naomi speaking this word to dear Ruth. It was the word of heaven to her, from the Lord himself. Naomi was the messenger, but the message came from heaven. And it's a wonderful thing, you know, the Lord is pleased to use whom he will in the blessing of his dear people. And here with dear Naomi, she was just the instrument in this matter, and the whole matter proceeded from the Lord. Well, we looked a little this morning at the great desire in the heart of Naomi for Ruth. My daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? And what a desire that is, isn't it? Is it the desire of your heart for yourself personally, or for those that you would bear up at the throne of grace and pray for? But you know, she had a further desire, and it was this, that it may be well with thee. That was a great concern to her, because there's no doubt as Naomi looked back, there was much grief in her heart that she and her husband had gone down to Moab in that time of famine. But you see, it was all in the purposes of heaven that Ruth should be brought back with her. But look at the grief that they both had to go through. And there's no doubt as Naomi looked back here, she could think of that grief. And her great concern was in looking forward to what was before. And really we see here wonderful faith given to her to believe that as she uttered this word, which was, as I have said, the word of heaven to dear Ruth, she believed the Lord would grant it. And that she would find rest, and that it would be well with her. You know, if the Lord has blessed us with living faith in our souls, there will be times where you will look back. And sometimes it's really, as the hymn writer said, it's very sweet to look back and to see the wonders God has done and what he has favoured you with and what he has wrought. But what about looking forward? Because this is what Naomi was doing here. She was thinking of the steps of dear Ruth for the future. I often think when we try as help to take weddings both here and elsewhere, you know, it's a venturing into a new sphere of life. And we desire that what Naomi desired here for Ruth, for those that are joined in matrimony, that it may be well with them as they venture on in step by step in the journey. First in the natural walking together through life, but secondly, that they may walk together spiritually in the vital things of God. And thirdly, that it may be well with their souls. Now as we come with this word today, and you think of the unknown way of the future, none of us know what an hour will bring forth, and we are continually being reminded. I thought on Friday in dear Mrs. Moore's funeral of 25 years, she was a widow. And during that 25 years, the Lord wonderfully was with her. But it brought home solemnly to me, thinking of those 25 years as we stood up at the grave, you know, 67 had been buried in the chapel yard in those 25 years. And you think of that, you see. You take 67 in a congregation today, it would be a good congregation, you see, but they're all freed from this earth, taken to glory. But what about us? Have we that faith to look forward, to believe that those steps, the remainder of our journey here below, it will be well? Because this is what dear Naomi desired for Ruth. And really, I seek to be led into this afternoon, and we would look at the case of Ruth first of all, and then bring it home to each of us. And you look how well it was to be, not only for her, through her life, but too, Naomi was to see the fulfillment of this word. First in Boaz and Ruth being wonderfully brought together by God. And then secondly, what was to flow forth from the loins of Ruth? Obed. And then you can look at it in the blessed lineage of Christ. And I believe, you know, I don't wish to read into the Word of God more than we are allowed by the Holy Spirit, but you know, I believe in the heart of dear Naomi, she could see in all this, and really, it's very humbling to think of it, the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus. You think of what the dear women said to Naomi when Obed was born. those dear women, in the following chapter, they said to her, at his birth, remember, he shall be to thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. That's a wonderful word, you know. You think of dear Naomi, all she'd been through, and the Lord was going to be the restorer of her life, and it would all flow through Obed, who was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus and the glorious forerunner of him. And through that lineage should come forth Christ. And you know that is blessedly true concerning the dear Lord Jesus. To his dear people, he is the restorer of their lives, isn't he? We sing in the hymn, life restored and sin forgiven. A restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And dear Naomi, you know, those last days, really, we may say they were blessed days in her soul's experience. The Lord had made all that that seemed so crooked and so painful to walk out straight. And he can do it today. We can. Is anything too hard for the Lord? That it may be well with thee. Now you may say, oh, but I've got this affliction that's upon me. I've got this to go through and that to go through, as you view, if you're spared, and I have too. And we think of that, but you know, what a mercy when we can feel in it all that it will be well. And then, of course, the great day of death and a vast eternity. And you see, if the case of Ruth, how wonderfully the Lord was to do it. And it was all in his hand, you see. Oh, it was. To perform it. But then, bringing it home to us, we may have wondered why we read together. Well, no doubt many would have known why we read that beautiful chapter in the book of Kings concerning the Shunammite woman. It's a wonderful account, that is, you know. And the Holy Spirit has wonderfully left it on record. And you look how the Lord wonderfully was to give her her son. And not only that, but the things that were to follow it. And how every step, really, she was to prove that it was well. But think of that, two things really. Firstly, it so struck me with what we read in that 23rd verse of the second book of Kings, chapter 4. Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And what did Naomi say? The Shunammite woman say? A very precious word, you know. It shall be well. Now you think of what you may be in today. Have you a little faith to believe it shall be well? Because that's what faith will look for. It'll be looking unto the Lord who alone can do it. It shall be well. You may be like this dear Shunammite woman in much sadness because of the loss of her son that had died. And he was laid upon the dear man of God's bed. "It shall be well," she says. And what so struck me about that was because the margin refers to it. "It shall be peace." Calmness, quietness, you see, "it shall be peace." This is what she said, and the child lay dead. "It shall be peace." The Lord, no doubt, had given her wonderful faith to believe it, and to know it, and to feel it within. "It shall be peace." And as you venture forward, whatever you may have before you, I know not, but the Lord knows. May you prove this, and may we have that faith to believe it. "It shall be peace." I often quote to you, you will know, that beautiful word the Saviour has set before the sorrowing disciples. In John 14, he says to them, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." Now, you see, they were full of trouble. And he was to speak that word that they might have peace in it all. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you come into trouble, whether it's of circumstance, or whatever it may be, an affliction, or whatever it may be, and the Lord gives you peace within. Oh, it's a very sacred thing. I remember going and visiting a dear lady in Lister Hospital at Stevenage when I was pastor at Ashwell, and, you know, she had to undergo quite a major surgery. And she said to me prior to the operation, you know, she said, "The Lord has given me such a sweet measure of peace within." She said, "I feel I can lay in his hands and I believe that he will bring me through the operation and it'll be peace." And you know, that's exactly what happened. I saw her a day or so after the operation, and for an oldish lady it was a major surgery. But oh, the peace that dear woman, and you know, it was so sacred in the ward, you know, the peace just flowed through it. What do we sing in the hymn? "When thou canst know deliverance see, this glorious man, thy peace shall be." Now this dear Shunammite woman, she was to be blessed with peace in it all. Peace by his cross as Jesus made. And you know, he can give that peace to you today, and then you can feel it as well. Oh, you can. But the second thing I was going to name was the question that was put to the dear woman. And what was it? So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her far off, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite." And then listen. "Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee?" He brings it right home to her heart. Is it well with thee? How would you answer that question this afternoon and me? The Lord knows. Is it well with them? Is it well with thine husband? You know, those that are really graciously exercised about their own soul will be exercised about the souls of their loved ones. Oh, they will. Is it well with thy husband? What a question. You see, three important questions. Gehazi was instructed by the servant of God to ask, is it well with the child? And what did she answer? It is well. Faith believed it. And yet the child lay dead. It is well. And may the Lord grant us that sweet assurance personally that it is well with us. What will settle that with your poor heart and mine? For the Lord to sweetly whisper that we are his child. That he has chosen us. Let me just name one or two things. Firstly, the Lord to whisper this word to you, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I think of a dear old lady many years ago, she was only young in her teenage days, and the Lord spoke to her that word, you know, as she lay in a bed of affliction in her youth. Many feared she was going to be taken from this earth, and the Lord spoke to her those beautiful words, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Oh, she said she never forgot it. She knew two things. One was that the Lord was assuring her she was his. I have chosen thee. Secondly, the path she got to walk in the future. The furnace of affliction. And you know, really, that dear lady walked right through her life. She lived to be a great age, but it was a path of much affliction. So there were the two things in it, you see. But in it all, she could go back to that, what the Lord said to her, I have chosen thee. And if he's chosen you, poor soul, and me, you'll be able to say from time to time, it is well. And you'll feel it. But I know you'll say, oh, but there are many times where I'm full of sorrow, full of doubts, full of fears, and the devil seems to attack me on all sides. He will, poor soul. He only attacks the children of God. He doesn't attack his own. He's got nothing to attack them for, has he? He's got them. Solemn, you know. But with the real child of God, you look how Satan attacked the Lord of life and glory, the Lord Jesus himself. He gave the Saviour no rest, even from the first moments of his birth. He worked in Herod to try and destroy the precious Son of God. And you look at them many times. They tried to take away the Saviour's life. And what did he say? I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. They could not take it from him. The agents of Satan tried. But then, when the hour came at Calvary, and I speak it with much reverence, he just laid it down. Salvation's work was done. Going back to this word of sweet assurance that we might be able to say it is well. We think of that beautiful word in Isaiah 43. And oh, what a precious word it is. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, and then listen, for I have redeemed thee. You may say, what such a poor, unworthy wretch as me, I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. A word Satan can never take away from the child of God. And there are many other precious words. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. And oh, you think of the dear Redeemer when they nailed his precious hands to Calvary's cross. The names of all the redeemed were upon them. It was their sins, yours and mine if we're among them, that nailed him to the tree. The hymn writer said, the soldiers pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. That it may be well with thee. And you think of the dear Shunammite woman with the child lying dead, she said, it is well. And you look how wonderfully the Lord was to work. That which seemed an impossible thing, and it was with man, the Lord was to wonderfully perform. And oh, how the dear servant of God went to the house, and you see there was neither life nor hearing in the lad. And how wonderfully the Lord was to appear. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands and stretched himself upon the child. And the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Look at the blessed reaction of this dear woman when the child lived. She bowed herself to the ground. Unworthy that the Lord should so have answered her prayers and desires and fulfilled the promise, it is well. Do you know what it is when the Lord hears and answers your poor petitions and you fall to the ground so unworthy? Lord, why me? Why hast thou so appeared to me, such a wretch as I? and took up her son. She could take him up in two ways, really, with her arms naturally. Think of the joy there was in her. And she could take him up spiritually in the arms of faith, because it was a wonderful fulfillment of what the Lord had given her when she said, "It is well." Now, in conclusion, we think of, firstly, of some years ago, a dear and godly man and his wife were greatly concerned of one of their children. They got a bead stuck in their nose, this little child. They went to the hospital and couldn't get it removed, and the doctors were greatly concerned about this, and the only thing they could do was pray the dear parents the Lord would appear. And you know, immediately as they prayed for this, the Lord's appearing, the case of Elisha and this Shunammite woman's son came to their mind, and the child sneezed seven times. And he said to me, you know, it was so wonderful. He said it started to sneeze, the little child did. And as soon as it sneezed the seventh time, that bead that was stuck in it came out. He said, I was just wet with joy. He said, I knew a little what the dear Shunammite woman felt. The joy of the Lord's appearing. My daughter, oh, may the Lord whisper this to you and to me today. Or my son, claiming his children, you see. Dear Naomi, I could claim her. There was this wonderful, as I looked at this morning, relationship between them, my daughter. Shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And of course we are favoured with the full record. How well it was with Ruth, as I try to indicate. Not only for that day, but for the steps to come. The unknown way. Well in the sorrows, well in the depths, well on the mountains, well when everything seems against you. You think of dear old Jacob, when he said, all these things are against me. You know, it was still well with him, as much as it was when he went to the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh's palace, to see Joseph. It was well. But he had to know both sides. And if you and I have got the religion that dear Ruth had, she knew both sides. And so did Naomi. And so did the Shunammite woman. She knew the depths. And she proved, as she could look back, and often as we look back we can see it, that it was as well then, as well when on the mount. We hope to sing it in a moment. And who are the characters it's well with? Well, the first text I preached from in February 1966 at East Peckham. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. And you know, that was a wonderful word, really. If you and I are among the righteous, I know what somebody will say immediately, oh, well, I don't feel to got anything at all. I don't feel to be a righteous character. The righteousness is not in you, poor soul. You'll never create your own righteousness. That's as filthy rags. The righteousness of the Lord's dear children comes from the dear Redeemer who wrought it out. That glorious robe. It shall be well with them. And it will be. While life endures, and well when called to die. Well, if nothing that I've rambled round today be applied to us, may this sacred text, if I remember rightly, I don't think I've ever heard a minister preach from this word except for one, a baptising service at Linslade when Mr. Collier baptised two of his daughters. And he preached from this word. You know, I've never forgot it. And I felt as he preached, you know, concerning them, what is in this text. And it was wonderfully fulfilled, you know. My daughter, will not desire rest for thee, that it may be well with thee. And oh, may the Lord grant it through life, and especially when we come to the swellings of Jordan, it shall be well. The Lord will take away all those fears, poor son, and you're about to fall asleep in Jesus. When Uncle Jabez Field at Black Boys passed away, a late beloved pastor said, you'll say, how did he die? He said, I tell you, the Lord kissed him out of the world because it was well with him. What an end. May our end be like that, that we might join that blessed everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. Amen.